listening to His Time. It is Friday, August 21st, 8:05 Central Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading, and our guest pastor today, the Reverend Jacob Sutton from Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good morning, Pastor Sutton.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a joy to have you as our guest this morning. Looking forward to studying God's Word with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. Before we get to that, though, share with us about your congregation, Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Well, Emmanuel is about a 158-year-old congregation founded by German immigrants who really worked hard to get here to Terre Haute, and they built a wonderful church family here, and we are privileged to worship in a sanctuary which our forefathers built in 1885, and a beautiful sanctuary and beautiful place to be and gather together as God's people. And the congregation has only had 10 pastors, so a very good, caring church family. And and we have a host a vicar every year from our seminary in Fort Wayne, so, and we're currently on our 26th vicar. So we train up future pastors here for the church at large. So that's kind of who Emmanuel is.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry there at Emmanuel in Terre Haute. For our listeners not familiar with Terre Haute, Indiana, where can we find Terre Haute?
Oh, well, we're just 2.5 to 3 hour drive from St. Louis up I-70 to the east. And we're right on the Indiana-Illinois border, right on the banks of the Wabash River.
All right.
Yep.
Well, very good. Very good. Right there in southern Indiana, beautiful part of the country. Today we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 31. Pastor, what would you like for us to know about the text as we prepare to study?
Well, this text is the culmination, I think, of where the Apostle Paul has been taking the people in Corinth in his letter. To this point, it's a culmination, because he's gone through all the problems that the poor people there have been experiencing with each other in the congregation. They've been splintering into factions, and they've had a tolerance of gross sin in their midst, and they've indulged in sacrificial meat to idols, regardless of the damage it might do to their brothers and sisters. They've had divisions in the Lord's Supper. So all kinds of things have been pulling apart at them, and some have spiritual gifts that others don't have, and that's been causing problems. So Paul kind of draws everything in to this great analogy that the church is a body. And it is a body that is, earlier in 1 Corinthians 12, is made up in one spirit, baptized into one body, all made to drink of one spirit. So the basis of this body, it's being brought together in the spirit through holy baptism. And the baptism is that foundation for the church's unity. And as we're going to find out as we study, this body is drawn together not by her membership from below. We don't come together as people and make ourselves the church or make ourselves the body, but God does the work of making the body what it is. And then it's not just any body. It's the body of Jesus Christ. And that makes it just this text just a wonderful picture for us. We need pictures to understand the concept of what the church is and who we are. And also then, this is a wonderful text for affirming us in our daily vocation. So we have the doctrine of the church, and we have the doctrine of Christian vocation in this text.
We are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, verses 14 through 31. We're studying with Pastor Jacob Sutton at Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. If you have a question or a comment, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So, the verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. This is how a body works, right?
Right. And as he goes on to say, not everybody can be the eye. Not everybody can be the hand. And this is this first part is just perfect right where you stopped, because this little section 14 to 20 is kind of addressing people in the church who are feeling inferior in some way, and so maybe they have bad feelings about how others in the church are acting, or they're jealous of others in the church. So and that happens in our congregations, doesn't it? I mean. Sometimes other people have other talents, and not everybody is a hand. So the foot, it's a great way he says it. If the foot might say, "Hey, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of this body on that account." No, it doesn't make if whatever that foot might say doesn't make it any less a part of the body. So and a body needs a foot. If we don't have 2 feet, we can't stand. And likewise, even if the ear might say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not therefore a part of this body. No, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body, is what Paul is getting at here. So we need 2 ears to hear. And we all know how tough it is in life if we don't have our hearing, or if we don't have a leg, or we're missing an extremity. The body isn't complete as God designed it. And so, therefore, it would make sense then if the church is a body, then not everybody who's in it can be the eye. Not everybody who's in it can be the hand. Maybe the hand is more interesting than being a foot. But being an eye is more interesting than being an ear. Yet, everybody has their important duty to do. And it's not just everybody needs to have a duty, but look at verse, verse 18 says, but now God set these members in place for our benefit. This is the first of 3 times here. God does the work. God designed this body. And we're not just talking about our human body, this church. One each of them in the body, just as he desired. Who are we, then, to question God's will? God has created in his will this wondrous body, and each person has its part in it. So, Paul is affirming people who maybe think, well, I have a lesser job to do than these other people. One lady in the congregation who's very talented, and she can play the organ, and another young man can play the violin. But not everybody gets to do that because not everybody can. Not everybody has that God-given gift. Not everybody has the gift to preach or to teach and the call to do it. So sometimes we all need people who can do the tough tasks. For example, we're going to have a work day here at our congregation coming up in October. Well, I'm not strong enough to pull out those ugly old bushes in the front yard. not on my own, and probably not even with a lot of help, but there's a bunch of other guys who are a lot stronger than I, or they have equipment, and they can come in and help us get rid of those old ugly bushes. Meanwhile, maybe I'm better.
Pastor, still there? You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. And we are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Jacob Sutton from Emmanuel Lutheran Church and Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. We're at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, verses 14 through 31. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue studying God's Word right here on Worldwide KFUO. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Jacob Sutton from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 18?
Yes, sir.
All right. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. God arranged them as he wants them.
Right. And therefore, we can be happy and content and know that we're blessed no matter what vocation within the body of Christ God gives us to do. And that's a real spiritual battle for people, to be content with who God makes us to be and gives us to be, both in our church family, in our family at home. The husband takes his duties on as father and leader of the family and spiritual leader of the family. The mother lovingly supports the father in that task and helps and raises the children as well. And so, you know, and the children lovingly submit to their parents, you know. But also in the church family, in the body of Christ, we can take confidence that God has set this for his benefit and our benefit into place, and just as he desired or just as he chose. And then the logical question in verse 19, if everything or if all the parts were just one member, if everybody were an eye, where would the body be? We'd just be a gigantic eye that couldn't do anything. But of course, that's not what a body is. It has all its constituent parts. So there are many members, but one body.
And if looking at verses, 14 through 20, anything else, Pastor, on that section before we go on to the next section?
I think that we covered it.
All right. Let's take a look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor.
Right. So now he's turned the conversation a little bit. Remember, there are some people in the Corinthian congregation who, because of the divisions and the issues they've been dealing with, have felt inferior to others. Now he turns the body analogy, the body illustration, to address those members of the congregation who feel they are superior to others, and they have that problem too. So the eye, you can't say to the hand, I just don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you, you know. And just imagine now we think about real people saying that to each other and how terribly they would feel if somebody says to another person, you know, we really don't need you, especially in a Christian congregation with as a church family, you know. That just causes immense sorrow and heartache and great sin to take place. So he first addressed those who were feeling a little inferior, maybe jealous of others. Now he has people who maybe have the superiority complex, and to the contrary, if some of the members of the body which are thought to be weaker, no, it's necessary that they exist. And he uses this word weaker. And here in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 27, God chose the weaker things of the world to shame the strong things, you know, and where he's talking about the cross, the weakness and the misery of dying on a cross. He brings back that word, to be weaker. Let's see how it goes in my English Standard Version. Yeah, that the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, they are necessary, they are indispensable. What we think are dishonorable parts of the body, they are given more excessive value. And the shameful or unrespectable parts of ours have more excessive respect shown them. I'm kind of reading my literal translation here. So, or they're treated with greater modesty. So, just how do we dress each day, right? We cover up those parts of ours that aren't supposed to be seen. And the more respectable parts, our head, our hands, the parts people should see and can see about us, they are treated with respect, but they're out in the open. The unrespectable parts are treated with more respect because they're covered. So we cover for each other. And so what he's getting at is the people who have more important work or in the world's eyes or are stronger than their weaker brothers need to remember that, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. And God chose the weaker things of the world to shame the strong things. In precisely that he sent his son to become weak for our sake so that we all might be made strong in him. So he kind of has a play on words here, verse 23. Our unrespectable parts are treated with even more respect. He's trying to teach those people who think they have it over other people that everybody has an important part to play. And here then we come to verse 24.
Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another.
Right. And so just as in the previous section, he said in verse 18, God set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired, and God did it for our benefit and his benefit. Now, in verse 24, likewise, he reminds the stronger people, the people who have a superiority problem or complex, he says, no, God has brought together. He's composed this body. And to the one lacking, he's given more excessive honor or value. So, again, the reminder is where he comforts the people who feel inferior, hey, God gave this part to you, and so you can take confidence in that. And now he reminds the people very gently on the other side of things, hey, God's brought together, and if he's given people into his church, then they all have an inherent value. Because, of course, ultimately, we all have value in his church because he's brought us into the church, and he's loved us, and he's died for us and paid for us with his own blood. So, we can go all the way and extend out. Why is this? To prove it, the Lord himself went to the cross and rose from the dead on the third day for each and every person. that he's brought into his church. And he has composed this church, brought it together in his way.
If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
Right. And this goes back with verse 25, which you read just a second ago, that there might be no division in the body. That there might be no, and the word to hear is schism, schisma. He's already used that word division or schism Paul has in 1 verse 10, chapter 1 verse 10, chapter 11 verse 18, where he's talked about describing factions in the church because of who's baptized who. That's chapter 1. Some were baptized by Paul, some were baptized by Apollos, etc. And then the Lord's Supper, that because of its misuse and abuse by certain people in the congregation, was causing a division. But now he says, God brought these people together in order that there be no division in the body or schism, but that the members might be showing that anxious care on behalf of one another. Because, hey, if one member suffers, we're all suffering together. I mean, I have a little bit of dry skin on my tips of my fingers sometimes, and I'm kind of a wimp. And so sometimes my skin cracks on the tips of my fingers. And if I don't get it, you know, band-aided up, and it hurts, you know, and then I'm kind of stingy about things when I shouldn't be. But, you know, your thumb hurts a little bit, your whole body hurts. If you stub your toe, your whole body hurts for a little bit.
Isn't it amazing when you get a paper cut how sometimes it can hurt worse than anything
else?
Yeah.
It's like I live a life of constant paper cuts, yeah. And so, but that's just one thing, and I, you know, get help for it. But it's just and I think good Christians can think this way of each other. And that's why, of course, in other places in the Scriptures, God calls on us to pray for each other. Because, hey, if one's hurting, you're hurting too. And then we think in the Christian congregation, when one of our members passes away, we had a series of time there in the spring where we had three of our members just boom, 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 the Lord took them home. And so here we had three families that are kind of hurting. Well, everybody was kind of hurting for them because that's who we are. We're a church family. If they're hurting, we're hurting too. And we don't want to see them hurting and grieving, but that's the way it goes sometimes in this life. And so if one member suffers, we're all suffering together. But if one member is glorified, we all rejoice together.
Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So there's a corporate body, and you are yet members.
Right. And here he brings ties together this in this last four verses. He just ties together then this whole talk of the body and applies it to everybody. And gives it that you know, in our Lutheran theology and especially we hear it in the Lord's Supper, right? Given and shed for you. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the for you aspect of the gospel. Now, here's a gospel message. You, and he actually puts the pronoun in, which gives it emphasis in the original Greek language. Now you are the body of Christ and members in each individually a part of it. So again, affirming the people with just a beautiful word from the Lord that you are this body, and not just any body, but the body of Jesus Christ. With, of course, we learn from other places in Scripture, with Christ as the head of that body, and each individually member is part of it. And so, and verse 28, God has indeed set, again, for his and our benefit in the church, all of these offices and gifts. So God has done the work, and God is the subject of the sentence. So for the third time in this passage, again, Paul has gone to the effort to point out that God has done this. God has created this body. And that's how we talk about the church in our Lutheran church, in our Lutheran confessions, in the Augsburg Confession, in the 7th and 8th articles, right? The church is the baptized, believing members of Christ who are gathered together around God's word rightly preached in the sacrament rightly administered, all believers in Christ who are gathered around the word and the sacrament mm-hmm. rightly given out. So we're not, again, a body that's constituted from below by her membership, and we decide because maybe we have, you know, in some other ways of looking at Christian theology have, you know, said, well, the church is a body of people who gather together because they have a common ethic or a common ethos or a common way of thinking about things. Our common way of looking at things. No, we have things in common, not because we've decided we do, but because God has given it to us from above. God has gathered us together in his one Holy Spirit out of love for us and gathers us through his word and sacrament, through baptism, into his body. And God has done that work. And so we have to keep that in mind because it becomes very easy to get a little frustrated with things in our congregation or in our church at large. And we forget real easily that we're not here because we just happen to have kind of a common way of thinking or a common ancestry or any of that kind of thing.
Not just a civic organization.
Not just a civic organization, right, that, you know, where the membership kind of rules everything. And but no, we're ruled by the word of God, and God has constituted us from above as a great gift to us.
These in verses in verse 28 and 29,
right.
Those appointed here, God appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues.
Right.
What? Why all these different offices?
Well, and notice, well, two. Okay, some as apostles, second prophets. So first are the apostles, second the prophets, third the teachers. So here you have offices, you have vocations. Now, in that time of the church when Paul is writing, of course, he is an apostle, and the other apostles are still alive. And they are there for the church at that time. Now, some of them are maybe by this time already being martyred. Then some of them are being scattered about to go to the disparate places to preach the gospel. The prophets the Old Testament prophets who end with the apostle with the prophet John the Baptizer. Now, having said that. And then there's a teaching office. Well, we have all three of those offices and vocations. We don't have any more apostles. They're in heaven with their Lord. We don't have any more prophets. They're in heaven with their Lord. But we have their work, and we have their word that they've left to us, God's word, the inspired word of God, and we have the office of teaching that word and preaching it just as they did. And so God has given that in the church, the apostolic and prophetic office of preaching and teaching his word. Now, it's interesting. So he gives a first, second, third, there's apostles, prophets, teachers. Then those who have powers, those who have gracious gifts of healing, those who do helpful deeds or make assistance to others, and those who have leadership, and those who have various kinds of tongues. Now, the various, so he mixes. Some of the gifts are an office, and some of the gifts that God gives are actual gifts, things that he permits people to do by the power of his Holy Spirit within his church. For the sake, as we learn from the context of the rest of script of the 1 Corinthians, for the sake of that the people always hear the gospel in the church. So, and it's just interesting, powers, gifts of healings, helpful deeds. We can think of people who help other people in these ways. And leadership, that word is related to the word for helmsman, a ship's captain. So holding the helm of the church, some people are gifted that way. But not everybody, verse 29.
Mm-hmm. Are all apostles, are all prophets, right. Are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will still, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Right, and the question that Paul asks in verses 29 and 30, they anticipate the answer being negative or no. And then because he piles on these rhetorical questions one after the other, it's for emphasis. So his answer that he anticipates is not just no, but surely no. You know, not everybody's going to be one of these people or have one of these gifts. But we can be okay with that because, as we've said earlier, God has given that way, and we can be happy and content with that. And so strive for the greater gifts of grace. Verse 31, I'm showing to you a still yet more excellent way, and this is his segue into chapter 13, where the greatest gift that we can all have is the highest fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. And there are faith, hope, and love as he ends that chapter, but the greatest of these is love. And love is what is necessary to use any gift in the church, because we're going to do it out of love for our neighbor, and love for God, so that our neighbor hears the gospel.
With about 30 seconds left, Pastor, anything else about the text as a whole as we wrap up our study together today?
Just to remember that we can, only through love is the whole body of Christ able to function smoothly and grow. So love for each other is going to remind us that we all have these wonderful gifts that God has given, and that we can be happy and content being a part of his wonderful body, which he has brought us together in out of his love for us. And he proved it by loving us enough that he died for our sins and rose again for all of us to bring us into his body.
Amen. Thanks be to God for all that he has given us in Christ Jesus. Pastor, thanks so much for being our guest pastor today, the Reverend Jacob Sutton, Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. Thanks for helping us study 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Andy, it's been my privilege. Thank you so much. It's been a real blessing.
Certainly. God bless you and all the saints there at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.